Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
It's hour number two, Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. Racking my brain to come up with a new a Triple H for today, Bart Scott, but I'm working on it. I think I might have one. We'll get to that later on in the show. Before we get to other things, including Mel Kiper's latest mock draft, which is very interesting from a Giants perspective, let's take Reggie and Yonkers. Go ahead, Reggie.
Hey, Alan. Hey, Bart. How are you?
Good. What's happening?
Nothing much. Before I get to my question with Bart, Alan, I saw the pregame show for the Knicks game yesterday, and I just wanted to make a quick comment on it. I agree with you and Wally, but I tend to lean more towards your side. It's as you said, Wemby, he can market the game. He has a chance to develop and become something that no one has ever seen. So he can definitely be the face of the NBA along with the accolades, the acumen, everything else. But I understand Wally's point of view in that as of right now, the numbers that Jokic is putting up, the things that he's doing, even though he doesn't market the game, he's established himself as a dominant force. So I just wanted to make a quick comment on that. Bart, I just wanted to get your defensive acumen on this.
Let's do one at a time, Reggie. Let's do one at a time because you'll get into the football one. But let me answer this one. See, I've tried to explain this before, and Wally as a player has a hard time understanding this, and I get why, because as a player, you think one thing. The best player in the league, you're the face of the league because you're the best player in the league.
Nope.
But it doesn't work like that. It works like this. It's the and it just happened to have been this way because Magic and Bird, and then obviously Jordan and Shaq and Kobe and LeBron and then Steph. These are all guys who at some time were the best player in the league, MVPs, winning championships, and sold the hell out of the league, right? The one issue with Jokic that we've learned already is that's just not who he is. He has no interest in it. Tim Duncan was Mike Trout, great example. Tim Duncan was one of the best players in the league, was winning championships, but had zero interest in doing anything that sold the league. It just wasn't who he was. So he never could be the face of the league. Kawhi Leonard can't be the face of the league. He could care less about that stuff. And that's fine. Victor Wembanyama is going to be the best player in the league in a short period of time. Watch him now. This is the worst he's going to be. And he's already incredible when you think about the second half he's having. But then you talk to him. You see him as he's addressing the crowd in San Antonio so comfortably at the age of 19 and 20 years old. And you see the charisma that he has along with the uniqueness of his physicality and the number.
And the shoes are coming, too.
Oh, that's coming. And you just say to yourself, this guy is going to be what middle America, when Eugene and Esther are understand what basketball is, even though they don't watch it, they can tell you, Eugene, who's an NBA player? Oh, that Wembanyama guy.
He's
like,
tall.
Like, that's what's going to happen. But they're not going to do that with Jokic. Because he doesn't jump off the screen, doesn't sell the game. It is about ratings and clicks and all that stuff. Yes, it is.
But also,
Wembanyama has all that. Now, Luka is close, but I don't know if Luka is going to ever get there. And then Anthony Edwards is also kind of somebody you could see because he's got charisma. But that's the point I'm trying to make on that one. Yeah.
Luka comes off as, like, sometimes, like, you don't want to. Like, he comes off smug, right? So, like, Wemby comes off as, like, joyful, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
He has the right demeanor.
Yes.
And also, like, I feel like Jokic, because he's dominant, but it doesn't look flashy. Wimby's going to give you the, he's shooting three-point runners.
Yes.
three-point runners.
Like, and blocking a shot when he's three steps behind, and somehow, some way, his arm's long enough to block a shot. It's just things that make you. Like your mouth.
It's like looking
drops.
At Shaq. It's like looking at Shaq. Or, you know what I mean? Like, wow, they are so big. I can't believe it. I've never seen somebody this big do that. When you look at Jokic, you're not like at all of his physical stature.
No.
Even though he's a big guy.
No. Like, you are when you meet him because he's a big dude. But
right.
And
but
Steph Curry was small, but Steph Curry would like shoot a three from 30 feet, turn around before it even went through the hoop.
Right.
Like, he does stuff like that that makes you. Steph Curry changed the game.
I feel like between that, I believe between that and also like what Nike's going to do.
We'll see.
The logo that just got revealed, the alien logo, you know what I mean? Looking like, what's the thing they say, like Stretch or something, like Stretch Man or something like that?
Okay.
Mr. Stretch is like a character or whatever.
Okay.
He's gonna do it, like you said, and also like because he's fluid, he's easy to understand, he's bilingual. You know what I mean? And he's going to take over the international market, too, especially if he wins a championship. Giannis was almost there.
That's got to come.
Yeah. Giannis was almost there.
Yeah, but there's something.
But that's starting to fizzle out.
And there's also something about, like, the fact that he can't make free throws that late in games. You know, he's just not – like, he's a physical freak, yes, his numbers. But there's something about Giannis that just makes you hesitate a little bit as, I don't know if that's going to sell the game. But this dude, this Wembanyama, this guy, I'm telling you, he's the real deal. Real deal. And I'm looking at the logo right now. That logo is sick.
It's crazy. I wear that on the middle of a hoodie.
Yeah, I love that. All right, anyway, I know you – so, Reggie, now you had the football thing, so go ahead with Bart on the football thing. I'll step out.
Yeah, it's a quick question for Bart. Bart, I'm a Giants fan. I can't sit here and tell you what they're going to do with the sixth pick, whether it's quarterback, wide receiver, offensive lineman. But what I wanted to ask you was, I haven't heard much of the cornerback class in this draft, and I wanted to know, I know we won't be able to get them in the first round, maybe even the second round, but is there like a sleeper or a player that not just Giants fans, but anybody should keep their eye on that can make a pretty solid impact in their rookie year?
Depends on if you talk about safety or corner. You talk about corners, you got Kool-Aid. Everybody's talking about Kool-Aid, right, from Alabama. But also, like, it's a great corner out there in Iowa that people see the Ravens going to, because the Ravens going to have to fill their cornerback position. Outside of that, you know, you got the kid from Minnesota, Toledo. So it's guys that are out there, but it's not anybody in the class that we deem like Stingley, Sauce, or the kid from Denver, Patrick Surtain. It's nobody that we deem like that. But that doesn't mean that somebody
can't
become
number one.
Right. It's some guys out there that's good, but you know, I think they'll get picked near the middle to the bottom of the first half. I think it's really loaded with linemen. Couple pass rushers, and of course the receivers are going to take the bulk, I believe, of like the top 15 picks before we even start talking about defensive players. You know, maybe a couple D tackles, the Murphy kid from Texas, but for the most part, this is the quarterback, lineman, receiver invitational in the first round.
Got it. Thank you guys so much. Take care.
All right, Reggie. Well, on that note then, let's get into Mel's mock. Mel Kiper just put out a new one.
What's this, 8.0?
It's a good question. Is it 4.0? Yeah, we're up to 4. Okay. So this is the 4.0. Let's take a look at some of these picks here. Again, at the beginning, it's all the stuff that we've been seeing from everybody else. Caleb Williams, number one to the Bears. Jaden Daniels, number two to the Commanders. That's interesting. Drake May going to the Patriots at 3. Now the draft begins. At 4, Marvin Harrison. All as expected. The 5th pick, though, as you have talked about, you and I talked about this weeks ago. This is where Mel sees Vikings and Chargers making a trade.
Are the Chargers going to get 23 and 11? Because that's a big jump from,
yeah, well,
from 11 to 5.
Yeah, so he has the Vikings going at 5 and taking J.J. McCarthy at 5. And he said that everybody is raving about McCarthy.
Sure they are. It's been a lot of hype about him.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, you know, a team that runs the ball more than anybody, hand the ball off and play action pass with a great offensive line, 18 people that went to the combine, mm-hmm. and – all of a sudden, he goes from not even being in the first round to being a first-round quarterback. Good luck.
Well, so now we get to the Giants at 6, and he was on Get Up this morning, so I'll let him talk about the Giants and what moves they can make in the draft. Timing is everything. Tom, play that for me because this just blew up on me.
Yeah, get Malik Nabers for Daniel Jones to try to help him and develop and build on what he did 2 years ago when he won a playoff game against Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. It looked like he was moving forward to be an elite quarterback. Well, injuries, obviously, team around him, problems there. So you get the insurance. So you get Brian Daboll says, okay, I get the receiver to help Daniel, but I also get some insurance moving up to get Bo Nix. Bo Nix is 24. Bo Nix has a gazillion starts. J.J. McCarthy's just 21 years of age. Now you get a guy more NFL ready. You get a guy that, hey, if Daniel Jones gets injured or he doesn't take that next step, then you have Bo Nix waiting there to reset things and become that guy. Well, the neighbor said quarterback-wise, they said they're going to address it at some point. May not at six. Maybe a wide receiver there, but then you go back up and get the quarterback, Will Levis. Tennessee moved up and got him last year early in the second round. Similar situation here with the Giants moving up to get Bo Nix.
Do you like that? Because that's very interesting. So he has this trade on day two where the Giants would move up and
in
make
the second
that trade.
Round?
Yes.
Moving up to the first
move
round? Or
up, move up with Carolina.
In the second round.
Yes, pick number 33. So get the number one pick in the second round and take Bo Nix. How about that?
I'd rather take Michael Penix Jr.
Well, how about just taking a quarterback with your trade is the biggest thing of all.
Yeah, but that's what I said. I've been saying that for months, that in the second round they can get the quarterback Michael Penix. I don't know if I want Bo Nix. We know what Bo Nix is. He's been in college for a long time.
So the idea that he says is that the Giants could – so they got the 47th pick in the draft from Seattle.
Yep.
In the Leonard Williams
trade. Leonard Williams, yeah.
Take that and next year's second, move up, because their pick at 39 went to Carolina in the Brian Burns deal. So that's how you get yourself all the way up, is that you make this trade. And Carolina wants draft picks.
Yeah,
and you go ahead and get that first pick of the second round, and so you'd rather see them take Penix.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's talking
about a guy that played a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's saying Bo Nix. Bo Nix has been around. He's transferred a couple times. Seemed like he was in college forever. I think he started at Auburn. Didn't he start at Auburn or something like that? I feel like Bo Nix has been around forever. But yeah, I listen. That's what I said. I said, listen, they go get the receiver, then they go get the replacement for Daniel Jones. They have, I think, they had. Do they still have two second-round picks?
Who,
or,
the Giants?
Are they down to one?
No.
Okay, so they gave up one.
Remember, they traded their second-round pick for Brian Burns, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, you can take, third round, they still can go out. They got the quarterback. They got the receiver.
Yeah, he has,
I think the offensive line is good,
He has Penix. He has Penix going at 37, where the Rams – would move up with the Chargers.
See, that'd be, man, like I said, I think Penix is the guy. I know, it's rare that guys are are healthy in college.
The history of injury would really concern me, though, if I were the Giants. I know what you're saying about him, and I completely get it.
This guy's special, man.
Yeah, but also
– and he ran – I mean, he showed you he was an athlete. Even though he didn't run in college, dude ran a sub-4.5.
Yeah.
He ran a 4.5 or a sub-4.6. So I think he ran a 4.55 or something like that.
Yeah, Mel just has him graded higher, has a Bo Nix.
Bo Nix graded higher than Michael Penix? That's crazy.
Yeah, it's what
the only way you can have him graded higher, not from arm ability, arm talent, not because none of that. I don't agree with Mel on that one, man.
That's fine. It's fine.
I agree with the move for a quarterback there. I agree with that, right? Because you got to get Daniel Jones' replacement, and you want to go with the guy that's healthy. But if I'm swinging, I'm swinging big. Mm-hmm. I'm not swinging for a guy that I think can potentially be like Derek Carr. I'm swinging for a guy who I think could be like Deshaun Watson, the good Deshaun Watson.
Can he? Are you that sure about
bro,
that?
Bro, ask anybody that was at his pro day and that was down at spring ball.
I know what they're saying about how the ball comes out of his hand.
He only threw four picks, man, this year. Like, this dude went off. Mm. He had his team in the Washington Huskies. The Washington Huskies.
I know.
We're in the national championship.
Yeah. Well, all right. Regardless of whether it's your – if you like Penix or if they like Bo Nix, whatever it is, you or Mel, but the idea that the Giants make a move up
absolutely.
So they can get a quarterback in the second round after taking a wide receiver in the first round, that to me feels like the right thing to do from a Giants perspective. They've got to get a playmaker first. That's got to be the thing they got.
Exactly.
But then after that, you've got to see if you can find the future of your quarterback position. And that might be the way to do it in the second round. Are there other needs that you would need to address in the second round that you would say, okay, that's franchise malpractice. They should be going for
offensive line,
cornerback or something like that.
Offensive line, check. We got two great pass rushers now in Thibodeau. We got Dexter Lawrence. We got our quarterback, our linebacker in the Karake last year. We drafted our corner in Banks. We can try and get a guy on off the streets. You know what I'm saying? You can go. Mm-hmm. Who's out on the streets right now? Marcus Peters is on. No, Marcus Peters is on the streets. I'm talking about corners that you can kind of patch in. You can go get a Xavier Howard, who was a outstanding cornerback from Miami, to kind of go there. You can worry about getting a future second corner next year. I'm not worried about that. So, like, outside of that, they got everything they need. And eventually, who knows? Maybe the Giants say, hey, Justin Simmons, I'm going to go ahead and grab Justin Simmons, who's out there, who's arguably still, I think, in my opinion, might be the best safety in football. He's still out there waiting for a job. So they can go get that, but you can't address the quarterback position anywhere but in the draft. So I totally agree with Mel on that, in that aspect. And if anybody's been listening to the show consistently, yep, they know that I've been saying this from day one.
Right. Right. And again, I still think it's because Minnesota moving up with the Chargers would suggest that Mel's hearing that the Chargers are willing to play.
Of course.
If the Giants want their quarterback and they feel the same way about J.J. McCarthy as everybody else seems to be feeling about it, the Giants could also just
– because
right? Because then the Chargers can still get who they want.
Well, no, but just think. The Chargers are going to move there because they want the 11th pick. And then, the Chargers can go there and they can go get J.C. Latham. The right tackle will still be there. Remember,
my point is, you don't want – if you like the quarterback, you don't want a team leapfrogging you to take the quarterback that you would like to take.
Well, where are they going to leap?
If I can get the fourth-best quarterback, let me get him.
But where are they going to leap to?
To one up one instead of letting Minnesota go there.
So you're saying they're going to go to Arizona?
No. You could go to Arizona because, again, like you see it. But I'm saying if they like McCarthy,
mm-hmm,
why would you let Minnesota jump you to get McCarthy?
You're saying if the Giants like McCarthy?
Yeah.
Man, you're not taking no quarterback pick six. Ain't none of these.
Minnesota's about to do it.
That's because they have Sam Darnold as their starting quarterback.
I'm just saying if they really wanted to do a quarterback – in this draft, that's the only thing they could do. Otherwise, the best you're going to do is a Bo Nix or a Michael Penix,
yeah,
and kind of hope it works out. That's all you're doing there. I'm not drafting my quarterback of the future. I'm drafting a quarterback of maybe the future. That's what you're doing with the second pick there. You're not taking a guy, because if you take a guy in the top five, you're basically saying we're going to give him every opportunity to win the job. You take a guy in the second round, you're like, let's see what he can do.
But not true. Not true, because if you move up to the first pick in the second draft, considering that's pretty much like taking him in the first round, you just don't have his rights.
Now, how much would it – I get it, right. And then it's also less years on the deal.
Remember, Kirk Cousins was a second-round draft pick.
Would you have any hesitation at all taking Neighbors at six after hearing him talk like this about the possibility of playing for the Giants?
That's a decision that, is going to have to be placed, when I hear my name called, especially since I don't know where I'm going. So going to New York, it wouldn't be a bad, bad idea. Quarterback situation, I know, they're going to figure it out, especially, if they got a caliber receiver coming like me. They're going to want to give me the ball, so I'm sure they're going to want to have a quarterback that can do that.
Yeah, it sounds like he already knows that it's a done deal.
Sounds like he already knows. No, it doesn't sound like he knows it's a done deal. It sounds like he's like, I don't really love this.
Nah, he ain't saying that. Anybody, listen. A LSU receiver going to New York. How'd it work out for the first guy that did that?
Yeah, he became a star.
Exactly.
With one catch.
Exactly.
Became a star.
Exactly. He ain't tripping.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Dayball ain't like, it ain't like, oh, man, I'm going to this defensive coach that don't know nothing about offense.
Well,
it's
less about that. It's more about I'm going to this team with a guy that can't – that like either he gets hurt
mean?
A lot or I don't know who can throw. And
man,
like,
Danny –
It did not sound like he's looking forward to this.
See, I heard differently. I heard excitement.
Why don't I hear negative? Let me hear it again. Let's hear it again.
That's a decision that, is going to have to be placed, when I hear my name called, especially since I don't know where I'm going. So going to New York, it wouldn't be a bad, bad idea. Quarterback situation, I know, they're going to figure it out, especially, if they got a caliber receiver coming like me. They're going to want to give me the ball, so I'm sure they're going to want to have a quarterback that can do that.
Daniel Jones ain't the guy, and I know he ain't the guy, so they draft me, they're going to probably have to go find a guy.
He's saying quarterback situation. I know they're going to figure that out. They're going to
figure it out.
Ball.
Yeah, they're going to want to get me the ball. So they're going to want to get a quarterback that knows how to throw the ball.
I'm hearing totally different. I'm hearing like, hey, they get a guy like me, they're going to get me the ball. Like,
no, he's saying they're going to – no, no. Listen again to what he says about the quarterback situation to be figured out.
I hear it loud and clear.
Well, that's not saying that –
Because he's hearing a report probably that, you know, that Daniel Jones may be out. But Daniel Jones come out, have a hell of a year, and then what? You're good. That's why you take the guy in the second round in case Daniel Jones come and have a all-star caliber season and carry the team. Like, now you got a guy in Bo Nix that can be the backup, and you ain't got to worry about it. And you can let Daniel Jones play his career out for 3 years, and then Bo Nix or Michael Penix can mess around and be Jordan Love.
Yeah, no, I get all that. I swear I could hear a guy that sounds like he doesn't really love the situation he'd be in.
This is a guy that's trying to play cool. Because tell me this. If half the places he go to, they already got a number one receiver. So how much burn are he going to get? If he get drafted, let's think about
that's
the
fair
team.
Point.
Let's
you think come about, here, let, you're going to be a focal point because they don't have the playmakers.
Exactly. Let's think about the team that he going to go to that he can get drafted in the top 10 that don't already got a guy. If he's not going to San Diego, only the other team that don't have a guy.
Arizona's not taking him, right?
Right.
They're going to take Marvin Harrison so that he's out. And then it would be the Giants. And then if the Giants pass on him, Tennessee's not taking him.
If he goes,
would Tennessee take him?
No, Tennessee need – man, Tennessee just gave Calvin Ridley $1 billion and DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, I forgot about Calvin Ridley.
And DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah. Atlanta certainly doesn't need him.
Right.
Chicago doesn't need him. Well, Chicago would take him.
No, they might take Roma Dunze. But if he goes there, he's going to be sitting on the bench behind Keenan Allen and DJ Moore
for a year.
That's what I meant,
is that you already have two guys there. And then the Jets, he'd be behind Garrett Wilson and Mike Williams.
My point. So, you want to go here and be that dude?
It's like, yeah, you'll get tons of targets.
That's what I'm saying. So don't you want to be that dude?
Fair enough. All right, let's a little late here, but just quickly, the Jets thing, him, Field Yates, everybody. Brock Bowers, everybody. They just refuse to and so Greeny had me on Get Up this morning. He said, instead of me asking, I want you to ask it. So I asked Mel, like, why a receiver at 10 versus a tackle? And he did admit that while, you know, the idea of getting a tackle – you could understand it. He said, having Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses, it's like you kind of already filled that area. And this guy, he said, is just too talented. He's not a typical tight end. He's like adding another receiver. He's that good.
He thinks he's
a generational talent at tight end, and you can't pass up on him when you have Aaron Rodgers.
So if he's that damn good, why the hell ain't the Giants looking at him? Or why is the Chargers like,
why?
You know, like, what about the other teams that already got quarterbacks that's passing on them too?
Yeah, no, I wanted Mel to explain it, and that's how he explained it. He didn't feel like you draft at 10 for depth; you draft at 10 for talent.
He said this
guy is the most talented player left on the board.
When your quarterback 40, now I can see if it was Rome to Doomsday.
Well, I guess what he's suggesting is that Latham and everybody else are, you know, like, they're not plug and play.
So hold on. But you don't have to plug and play because you got Morgan Moses and Tyron Smith.
Right, but I think what he was trying to explain to me was that this guy Bowers is generational. Like, he's an unbelievable tight end prospect who could be in the Hall of Fame. Like, he's going to be that good.
He can be in the Hall of Fame so much so.
You might want
to
take him.
He can be in the Hall of Fame so much so that the Chargers are willing to trade out the pick to get more picks because he's so generational. And the Giants.
I think you're missing the point.
I'm not missing the point.
He's talking about specifically for the Jets. Where the Jets are, their needs, like, the line is not as obvious of a need because they filled them with guys. And he's saying right thing to do is take this guy because you have Aaron Rodgers and this guy with Garrett Wilson. He's a great receiver.
And then next year, what are you going to be doing?
Hopefully Aaron Rodgers plays again.
No. Next year, what are you going to be doing? Tyron Smith's going to leave. He's not going to pay for $6 million, right?
All right,
Morgan Moses ain't going to pay.
Mel Kiper is going to be on with DNR tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. It's always must listen. And I'm sure the guys are going to grill Mel about this. And so maybe we'll get some more audio out of Mel. But that's what he told me. All right, so maybe he'll tell DNR something different. But he told me that, and I get it. I understand what he's saying there. I just, you know, we'll see what the Jets end up doing.
I mean, Mayo's not the only one putting him there, but okay.
No, I know. That's what I mean. Like, Phil Yates says it too. Like, other people have been saying it. It just seems like a collision course between the franchise.
Well, they better be going to get that kid from Arizona.
Brock Bowers. All right, 800-919-3776. We'll get back to your calls. And also coming up, audio files, which includes some back and forth between the Islanders and the Rangers after last night's game. And it makes me say we really need these two teams playing in a playoff series. Stay with us, Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Well, as we close in on the NFL draft, the Giants' decision in the first round still really up in the air. Will they take a quarterback? Won't they take a quarterback? Earlier this morning on DPH and Rothenberg, Rick and Dave said if the Giants don't take a QB, they have to have a better season next year.
You traded for an elite edge rusher, right? Now you've fixed the offensive line yet again. Now you're going to draft a major weapon in Odunze or Neighbors or whoever, and then add someone else with the second round. The expectations are going to be that you should probably be on the verge, if not a playoff caliber team. No?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I mean, come on. You don't think that could be a 9-win team? The NFC is not a
great conference. But look at what their over-under is. I mean, Vegas does not think much of this team. I have a hard time believing that if this season doesn't go well, Daniel Jones isn't good, the offensive line isn't fixed, and maybe you hear more out of that locker room that Brian Daboll isn't easy to work with, that there could be.
Especially if it's another season where week six it's over.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
This is random.
Yeah.
Feels good, though. This is good. Feeling good music, right?
Yeah. This on every like 80s, 70s type of
100%.
This song was always on.
But this is, again, this is that era of feel-good music where you had, like, this little band
disco
in the background.
Disco.
Like disco with a band.
Yep, disco.
Something fun about that. I like that. By the way, Tom, Q-Tip's birthday today, so let's get a little trot.
Oh, what up, Q?
Yeah, man. All right. So we have calls, 800-919-3776. We will get to them. Again, we'll go buffet throughout the rest of the show because this has been one of those shows that is just a lot of headlines and a lot of things to get to. And so right now, though, this is the best time to get to a lot of different things. So let's step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files. The Audio File.
Bar Scott, let's do that hockey.
Let's do that hockey.
I've been waiting to do this all show. Last night. So I'm going to set the scene for you. MSG Networks last night. We have two studios, right? In one studio is the Rangers pre and post game, and Henrik Lundqvist is in the building. So royalty was among us.
Did you tell him that he lost?
No.
Okay.
I kind of like, yeah. Wally and I wanted so bad to just start, you know, just talking crap, but we decided that was probably not. This man, by the way, wears a solid tie and a just gray suit, and it looked like, seriously, like $1 million. It's just amazing
like
what he can
morning.
Do with the simplest clothing. It's incredible how handsome this human being can be. And also a really nice guy. So anyways, so we were in our studio for the Knicks-Bulls game, and we're watching on, we have two large screens. Normally we just put on the Knicks game. We have the Knicks on the main, and then on the right screen where we have the Islander-Ranger game. And I'm telling you, there was a point of the game that we were so locked into Islanders-Rangers that we had to keep, like, say, what just happened? What just, like, on the Knicks game. It was hysterical because we were so into it. Islanders go up 3-0. They hold on for a 3-2 win. That's typical Islanders, of course. Anytime they have a big lead, you know it's going to end up being a close game. But stuff happened late in the game. And it's so typical of Islanders-Rangers because it gets nasty. And so first thing that happened was it seemed innocent where Mika Zibanejad is going through the neutral zone and Adam Pellick, the defenseman of the Islanders, was not looking and he was standing in one spot. Zibanejad ran into Pellick and it was ugly, like hit him in the head, in the jaw. He went down. No Ranger fan wants to see Zibanejad laying down and can't get up. Pellick even was like, what the hell just happened? So it was so bizarre. After the game, though, there was no penalty on the play. There was nothing that happened of any malice, but Peter Laviolette saw it different.
He came back at the end from that vicious hit. Yeah, he came back. That vicious shoulder elbow to the head. Watch it.
You think it was intentional, that it wasn't a collision?
I do.
He thought it was intentional, which I don't believe at all it was, because initially, when you watch it, Pellick, when the hit happens, immediately turns to Zibanejad with a hand out like, oops, I'm sorry. You know, like when you bump somebody as you're walking, oh, I'm sorry, you put your hand out.
But
like,
crazy
he does
like a fox?
That right away, like, oh, crap, like I didn't even see you.
You crazy like a fox?
I'm telling you, that did not look intentional at all. Here's Patrick Waugh, the Islander coach, on the same play.
I don't know why we're talking about this, quite honestly.
Well,
I'm a little surprised because it was clear in my mind that it was accidental. So, I mean, we could talk about it for an hour if you want to, but I think we're wasting our time. It was accidental. That's it. That's all.
I like this. You know what this is doing, right? Some spice. Already coaches now kind of
are we going to drop the gloves?
I don't know. I mean, the Devils and the Rangers did it. The Islanders and Rangers play again one more time Saturday afternoon
at the
Garden.
Drop the gloves.
I'm just saying, let's go, baby. Like this is what you want. You want some sizzle in the rivalry, but that wasn't the only thing. So the Islanders hold on to win. And they do it. I believe, actually, did I get the score wrong, Dino? It was 4-2 because there was an empty netter right involved here. I believe that maybe.
That's correct. 4-2.
Yeah, okay. So anyways, we had a lot going on last
Semantics.
Night. So they pull the goalie. The Rangers are just, they got the Islanders on their heels. You felt like a goal was coming. Varlamov, though, stood up. But there was a play behind the net where Trocheck gets crushed, like he gets run into the boards. Clear boarding penalty. His shoulder, his back was completely facing the play. He gets demolished into the boards. No penalty. It was like at least 30 seconds left. Blew my mind that they didn't call a penalty there. It's incredible that wasn't a penalty. And it's then, of course, a fracas is involved, and there's everybody's now just getting wrecked. Islanders come away with the puck. They get the empty netter. So it just shows you, though, that there's something brewing between these two teams. Bo Horvat is new to all this. He just came to the Islanders last year from Vancouver. But, you know, his whole thing is this is what's supposed to happen between two rivals.
The type of hockey you want to be playing at this time of the year. And I mean, they're a great team. They're a rival here. And I'm a New York Islander. And I think I'm supposed to hate them.
Supposed to hate them.
That's the same message you get when you come into Baltimore. You came into New York. You hate. We hate the Patriots. We hate the Steelers.
It's born into you. The minute you put the jersey on, that's just what happens. You're supposed to hate them. So, like I said, there's something brewing here. They play again Saturday. The game still means a lot for the Islanders. They are hanging on, trying to maintain a playoff position. They could fall into a wild card, but they'd rather have the playoff position. But if they fall into the wild card, they actually could end up playing the Rangers in the first round. Raise your hand if you're all in for an Islanders-Rangers playoff series. Yeah, we haven't had one in forever. I would, in a heartbeat.
Yeah, they better worry them Red Wings.
Well, that's what it'd be right now. I think the matchup right now would be Red Wings for the Rangers. But still, it would be special to have these two teams play each other.
Who would you root for?
Who would I root for?
Yeah.
I mean,
we got to get tickets at MSG. Who are you rooting for?
What do you mean I got to get tickets? What are you talking about?
Because I can't come all the way out to – there.
All the way out is UBS Arena. You could definitely go to that. We've got to go to every game, don't you think?
At least two.
No, every game. Right, we're going three. To every – if it's Islanders-Rangers, we go to three. Every game.
Okay, three.
Here's the thing, though. It's like, again, I've said this before. As far as Islanders go, they are near and dear to my heart since I was a little kid. That's just been my team. And I had the opportunity to cover them for Newsday for a number of years. And so there's just something. And then Peter Laviolette was the head coach. Michael Pekka was the captain during the years that I covered the team. So those are guys that I got to know and have a personal relationship and would love to see them have great success. So it's like I'm kind of torn. Mm. But, you know, I mean, I just want to see the series because we haven't seen it in a long time. I'm going to leave it there.
We'll give you a pass.
No, I'm moving. That's it. I'm not saying anything more than that.
You get your pass.
All right. What else happened in the world of sports? The Yankees move to 10-2. They get a win over the Marlins, who are 1-11. Mm. And so they get two wins here. But as Dino pointed out to me, all right, so two of the 10 wins are against a really bad team. But the rest of those wins are against good teams. Atlanta and the Diamondbacks and the Blue Jays, they have had a really good start to the season. The last time that – why am I getting feedback in my ear, Bart Scott? The last time that the Yankees started 10-2 was in 2003. You know what happened that year?
They didn't make the playoffs.
In 2003?
I'm just playing. They didn't win a championship.
Did they get to the World Series, though?
Meh. Is that when they lost to Boston?
No.
Oh.
They got to the World Series in 2003. 2004 was when they lost to Boston. 2003 was Aaron Blanken Boone, in the home run off Tim Wakefield, I believe. And that got them into the World Series. They did end up losing to the Marlins. So that's pretty special stuff, would you say?
We'll take that.
But that's special. And Alex Verdugo, he homered yesterday. There's a new thing that they're doing with the Yankees because he keeps talking about how they're a bunch of dogs. And so they do this barking thing now.
God.
But it starts out, like, different. Listen to this.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun. I love it, man. To hear the crowd out there barking, to see everybody kind of, you know, running with it has been a lot of fun. And, you know, hey, man, who doesn't like to bark, right? So it's fun.
Same thing make you laugh, make you cry.
He said at first you start out like it's like a puppy bark. Like you can't start. And then he said little by little, like the better the hit you have, the deeper you can get with the bark. So that's how they play this thing.
You know the same thing make you laugh, make you cry. Now when you get strikeouts, other teams going to pick up on it. They're going to start barking.
You think they're going to bark arr. At you now?
Oh, boy. DeAndre Miller is beating the daylights out of Marino.
That never gets old.
It never gets old. Ever.
We should make a remix of like all that, like that, and then like, yeah, this seems like rock bottom. You know what I'm saying? He's beating the brakes off of him. We gotta put all those
like
together like a remix.
Of that whole thing, right?
It just remixes.
Where it's that, yeah. It's got to be it's Gary. It's
and then go.
Town than being a Mets fan.
Opening day, and here's the first pitch, and the season's over.
Feels like rock bottom.
No,
but it isn't. I got that dog in me, boy.
But it isn't though. It isn't because, you know, the Mets are showing good fight now. And even though they lost yesterday to the Braves, Mendoza is quite happy with what he's seeing.
I thought we had good at-bats, you know, especially, you know, towards the end of the game to get the closer in and some of the high-end relievers. You know, I thought the fight was there the whole game. For us to put Pete as the go-ahead run in the ninth inning after, you know, I feel like we got down early. It shows a lot about this team, you know. Continue to put together some good at-bats. And, yeah, it was offensively. I like what I'm seeing.
Feeling good. Right, Bart?
Absolutely.
Feeling good. That series continues tonight, so with the Yankees as well. All right, so last but not least, college basketball news. The biggest news of all has been the fact that John Calipari is leaving Kentucky to go to Arkansas.
Took a pay cut.
And Calipari made that announcement because, you know, there was this, is he using it as leverage? He's trying to get more money? Is this and that? And he just said simply that they just need a new voice.
This is a dream job. It was my dream job. Anybody in our profession looks at the University of Kentucky in basketball and said, that is the bluest of blue. The last few weeks, we've come to realize that this program probably needs to hear another voice, that the university as a whole has to have another voice giving guidance about this program that they hear. And the fans need to hear another voice. We've loved it here, but we think it's time for us to step away and step away completely from the program. There have been opportunities that have been presented to us, and we're discussing them as a family.
Opportunities. Yeah, they already said the Arkansas deal's for 5 years and
$7 million.
The Tyson guy is going to be putting up some big cash for him to bring in some good players. Jim Boeheim on ESPN Radio, who he thinks is the best fit for the Kentucky job.
I don't know who will go to Kentucky. It's a hard job. I've always said only two coaches I know can handle that job, Rick Pitino and John Calipari. So I don't know who can
handle that job. Let's go, Rick.
It's a tough one. I don't think Dan Hurley will go to Kentucky. I mean, he doesn't fit for me.
Let's go,
Dan
Rick.
Dan Hurley already said he doesn't want to do it.
Let's go, Rick.
Pitino just getting things started at St. John's.
Let's go, Rick.
Remember, he left the Nick job back in the early 90s to take the Kentucky job, Kentucky job to take the Boston Celtics job. The famous, of course, Larry Bird's not walking through that door, and they tanked for Tim Duncan, and that failed them. You remember that? So for Pitino, it would be coming back to a place he loved, Lexington. And they loved him.
Because he was at Louisville, too. So he's been in Kentucky a lot.
Right. But he loved Lexington. He got into the horse game down there. He loved it down there.
I'll holler at y'all. St. John's.
At this age, though?
Yes, I'll holler at y'all.
Can't leave St. John's in a lurch like that.
I'll holler at y'all. Peace. It's been real. I apologize, but this is the blue. It's the blue bloods.
You can't.
This is the prime real estate. This means I get to leave out on top. This means I get to walk out on top. I got a legitimate chance to be forget a Sweet 16. I'm Elite Eight already stepping on campus, baby. And I got dudes that what he say that his players couldn't do. What he say they couldn't do?
I don't know.
It was like they're slow. They can't get out the when he at his press conference. You know what I said? He couldn't do. Al, it's okay, man. You can cry in the car, man.
It's just you can't do it. We worked so hard to get him at St. John's.
See you later, Rick.
We worked too hard for this. It's been real, Rick. One year.
Oh, man, you'd be at the Kentucky Derby.
Stay tuned for all of that on that level, because if you're a St. John's fan right now and if you start to believe, you really got to hope that that's not – no way Rapoli lets this happen, right?
It's two jobs.
All right, that's Audio
Great Files. Great facilities.
We have your calls at 800-919-3776. I see them all there. We're going to get to them coming up next. Do want to tell you, though, spring sports are here. It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150 win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs and slam dunks, all on an app that is safe, secure, and easy to use. So what are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Allen and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. 20 or older, physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships.
your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776. Glenn in Smithtown. Glenn, how you doing?
Gentlemen, I'm doing great. How are you?
Good.
Good. Great to talk to you. Listen, I wanted to talk about the Islander game last night. Obviously, the Dobson penalty. Listen, there was a cross check. It was obvious. There was a retaliation. Somebody
that was more than a cross check. That was boarding. That hit on Trocheck was dirty. I'm not saying he intentionally tried to hurt Trocheck, but once his shoulders turned, I can't believe they didn't call that in such a critical moment of the game. Like, that one blew my mind.
And you know the Rangers would have scored on that power play. Let's be honest.
Oh, my God. It felt inevitable. It did. It felt inevitable. But Varlamov has been very good. I give Rock credit also for realizing that Sorokin just has not been right, and it was time to sit him. And Varlamov has run with it. He's done a great job.
And Varley was great in Colorado with Wah.
People forget about that. Yes.
He was really good. He had his best year on the Wah there.
Yeah.
Peter Laviolette, you know, we go way back, 2001, mm-hmm. Pekka, captain.
Yep.
Laviolette brought us to the playoffs for the first time. But come on, Peter. You're better than that. You're better than that. Just look at every angle. Look at the overhead angle. Pelech was not even looking. No. It was more Zibanejad hitting him. And why is it that every time the Rangers lose, it's the refs' fault? Have you noticed that?
No.
I mean, it's always the refs. It's always the refs.
But isn't it that way with everybody? It's always like that with everybody.
But Ranger fans are special. You know that. And the last thing, Palmieri, slew foot in front of the net. He was down for a few seconds. That was Zibanejad. There was no call on that. We're not yelling, screaming about that. So, yes, Dobson was boarding. Should have been a penalty.
Yeah,
you know what would happen. But it's always the refs. Every time the Rangers lose, though, it's always the refs' fault. I don't understand.
But, Glenn, I'm going to ask, would you sign up right now for a Islanders-Rangers playoff series?
I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, Alan. I have heart trouble. I couldn't. I wouldn't last. It would kill me. It would absolutely kill me. Because I was there in 94 when we got swept.
That was painful.
It was, it would be incredible, but I really don't think physically
what was
my heart.
Do you remember the aggregate score of that series? It was
22-3,
something like that, right? It was something insane. Yeah. Like they were so overmatched. It wasn't even close. I don't think this would go that way, but I just think there's a whole generation of people that have never seen these two line up in a playoff series. They just, like, it needs to be seen. There's nothing left.
I mean, the trivia question, the last Islander double overtime victory over the Rangers, who scored the goal? Do you remember
Kenny
that?
Morrow?
Or did you
Kenny
see that
Morrow?
Question?
Is that Kenny Morrow?
No, it was Brent Sutter.
Brent Sutter. Wow.
Brent Sutter.
See?
Yeah.
I thought it was the Morrow goal that won the series in 84. Wasn't that Morrow?
Yes, that was, but I think the Sutter was in like 87, 88. I think they played, I could be mistaken, but I think there was one series before that, before they lost to the Devils, the Devils went on that run on an 88.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be incredible for the city. It really would. But you know what? I would rather it was round two or round three.
Oh, I'm with you on that.
I don't
want it to be first because that means one of them's done already, and that's too soon.
Exactly.
Yeah, so maybe second round will be a lot better. Who knows? We might get it.
Exactly.
Glenn, always good to talk to you, my man. Thank you.
My pleasure.
All right. 22-3 was the aggregate score, by the way, in 94. A four-game sweep, and it was not – like, seriously. 22-3, and it wasn't even that close.
It was
6-0,
6-0, 5-1, 5-2.
How did they get to? Like, what ended up happening for them to get the second – like, did Glenn Healy start one of those games for the Rangers? Like, how did they get two? That series was embarrassing. And it really, like, if you want to talk about the end of the end, that whatever the Islanders had left, 93, they got to the conference finals, coincidentally lost to Patrick Roy and the Canadiens in that conference finals. Then they get swept by the Rangers, and then they went on at, what was it, 8 years of some of the most futile hockey you've ever seen, which included the Fisherman logo. Just saying. All right. We'll get back to your calls, 800-919-3776. Power Hour coming up. Little Hans Hoop hierarchy. The top five players who need to win a championship. We'll get to that. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Well, another monster game for Jalen Brunson. The Knicks with another win. Now sitting all by themselves, third place in the Eastern Conference. Earlier this morning on DPH on Rothenberg, Rick and Dave talking Knicks.
Brunson is
special.
He really is. Can we stop with they need to bring in a superstar now? They need to bring in another star, if you want to say that, to play with Jalen Brunson, because he's a superstar.
You want like a 1A, 1B situation.
Exactly that. He is that level of special. So the Knicks win, and the Knicks are 47-32. The Bucks, they lost Giannis. I mean, do you understand the ramifications that Giannis getting hurt, if it's going to be an extended time, is going to have?
I know they didn't have Dame last year, but you saw what happened last year against Miami.
I mean, I don't know what Boston's going to do tomorrow night. If Boston lays up, you can go 3-0. You have a real chance at the 2 seed.
A real chance at the 2. When you go 3-0, you're guaranteed the 3 seed.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.